Globally, humans are facing massive problems that are widely ignored by governments and the media.
Like personal space invaders.
I've had it with these couples that sit on the same side of the booth.
Yak mouths.
Stupid stick figure bumper stickers.
Almond milk. You cannot milk an almond.
Hi, I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Angie.
We call her Pumps, and we are the hosts of I've Had It. Pumps, tell the listener where they can find us.
Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nailed it.
See you next Tuesday.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Race Chaser listeners, and welcome to a special bonus episode where we're going to give you a sneak peek of a brand new podcast we know you'll love.
It's called The Rear View.
The Rear View.
And it's a weekly LGBTQ plus roundtable where four all-star hosts and tons of big-name guests get together to chat, laugh, and argue about the latest in pop culture, sex, dating, and politics. These are conversations you need to hear. The funniest, smartest, queer personalities discussing the hottest topics in the LGBTQ plus community and the world at large.
The Rear View was created by Forever Dog and Grindr, and this was Grindr's very first foray into podcasting, and it's hosted by drag superstar Monique Hart, comedian Jay Jordan, he's fine, recording artist Chester Lockhart, hey Chester, and Grindr's own Patrick Rogers.
Yes, and guess what? I was a guest on last week's episode. It was so much fun.
You've been guesting all over the place, I see.
Yeah, I love a pop-up.
Guesty Geffen, I see. We're going to play that episode for you right now. And while you're listening, search for The Rear View on your podcast app. Hit the subscribe button and give them a 5-star review because trust us, they deserve it.
It was really, really fun and really great. And I'm telling you, these hosts together are astounding. And it was a pleasure to be on. New episodes of The Rear View come out every single Thursday, wherever podcasts are found. And now, roll that beautiful,
footage.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to The Rear View, the podcast where a roundtable of the funniest and smartest queer personalities discuss the hottest topics in the LGBTQ plus community and world at large. Okay, so this week we're discussing the disappearance of RuPaul Charles, memories of a Mariah Carey, the Old Guard premiere, and cancellation couture. But first, let's go over listener opinions on the queer legacy question from last week. What is the best 73 questions with Vogue interview? Chester?
At It's Ian Raymond says, just listen to At Grindr's new pod, and the hashtag queer legacy debate was about the best 73 questions from Vogue. It's obviously Donatella's, because when asked, how would you describe your personal style? She just goes, very personal.
Okay, Chester giving Patrick a run for his money when it comes
very
to
personal.
The Donatella. Okay, that's better. Mm-hmm. That's a Donatella. Patrick, you got some
One point, Patrick. Let the games begin.
All right, so in response to Vogue 73 questions, at Mia Serafino on Twitter says Olivia Colman, and not just because of how she pronounces her favorite show, Dynasty, not Dynasty. Apparently, us Americans get a lot of stuff wrong, including Foreskin, but Dynasty. But mostly
what?
Because she ate a cigarette during the audition.
Did she eat it during the 73 questions?
I think she talked about eating a cigarette at the audition.
See.
She didn't eat a cigarette during the 73 questions, Patrick.
Can we go back to the foreskin?
Can we go back to the foreskin? It doesn't grow back. That's the problem.
Actually, that's not true. They have a new device that you can put on the head and it'll pull the skin. My friend is using it. It's working. Okay. I haven't tasted it, so I don't know. But it is there. Amazon it, girl. Amazon
right.
Prime,
Dr. Lockhart. Okay, and then we have... we have a final
final tweet from VDR Star, which I think Jester, I think we know who this person is. He says the obvious answer to the hashtag queer legacy question is Bella Hadid, solely for how amazing her hair looks the entire video. Second would have to be Gaga, because Gaga.
Okay, well, that's okay, cool. Well, that's enough. I guess wrong opinions. I felt
Thank
like
you.
I was
I'm
right.
Back now.
Yeah, I felt like I was right. I felt like we all had very good opinions last time. And if you want to add to the conversation on Twitter, please feel free to. But no, at the end of the day, you're going to be kind of wrong. And with nothing else further said, let's get into some hot tops.
Speak on it, yeah.
Our first hot top this week, Mariah Had a Little Lambly, whose autobiography is coming out this September, The Meaning of Mariah. Monique, let's start with you. Do you know her?
I think the real question is, does she know me? Because that woman has, she has too much money. That woman has too much money. She has kind of F you money. So when she can say, I don't know her, like, you know what I mean? Can you imagine her going, a drag queen? Yeah, I don't know her. So shady. Anyway, the book looks good. Side note.
I'm very excited for it. As a person who looks like Nick Cannon if he wanted to try on Mariah's wigs and not just steal her money, I am so anticipating getting to hear everything about Tommy Mottola. I want to hear about the Honey video shoot. I want to hear about the Loverboy video shoot. I want to know why she wasn't given any sort of like recognition for how well she did in Precious. I love Mariah Carey. I've seen her.
Are we
going to
talk
concert.
About Glitter?
Three times. Yeah, we can talk about Glitter. We can talk about Glitter. Glitter just, you know what messed up Glitter? September 11th. So don't.
That's
we're
damn
not about
true.
To, we're not
true.
About to attack Mariah. Mariah, also one of the first Afro-Latinas that, like, made it super, super duper big in this country.
Go ahead.
People don't know. Wait a minute. Why? Wait. Wait, why? I thought she was white. Now we're in 2020.
No. Why? Mariah's
I thought she
father.
Was white, her mama was white, and yes. her daddy was black.
Her daddy was black and Venezuelan.
Oh, okay. I was like, where's she getting the Latina from? Because her mama is Caucasity, girl. So I was like, okay, love me.
I was buffering a little bit, too. I was like, is there some math I don't know about?
Some of you guys did not read the album liner notes Butterfly.
Someone didn't look at the Wikipedia page, apparently, girl.
I watched the VH1. No, I
as the person
the
who called Daniel Radcliffe
now?
That little boy over there.
Patrick, I do want to push back a bit. That little boy is a wonderful clip. And
it's amazing.
Great best numbers.
Clip from the show last week.
Did great numbers for the premiere.
I love Mariah. I'm excited for her memoirs because she's been around for so long and is very private and is honestly like one of the most interesting celebrity personalities like to interview and stuff. She's always giving you like a festive moment. And like on Watch What Happens Live, you know, with Andy Cohen, when she was like, he was like, give Eminem three compliments. And they're, she was like, you can carry them in a package and travel around.
Yes.
Like she's so funny. Like she's like actually has like real personality. It's truly nice to see like a celebrity, like actually like give some like feistiness and stuff. I love that about her.
I just want her to be present to tell her own story, because when she did that reality show a few years back where literally she wasn't the actual filming, she was only in the interviews.
The confessionals.
Yes,
like laying down on the chase cam.
As she's known to do, her Shea Lounge moment.
Yes. But she wasn't even, but I want to hear her actual story. It's like, you know, so much of the media is the narrator of her and the whole Tommy Mottola thing and just everything over the years. And I want to hear her shady ass version of it.
Absolutely. So it's going to be juicy. Her Cribs episode.
She's a good
writer
too.
Yeah, one of the best pop songwriters of all time.
She's a songwriter. She's Mariah the Thesaurus.
Yeah, not just four octaves, but a writer as well.
Do you understand how many polysyllabic words I learned because of her? Like, she's,
say that word.
Come on, polysyllabic.
You mean polysyllabic? Oh, that's also a drag name. Come to the stage.
Polysyllabic. Okay, let's move on to the second topic. The Old Guard, which is, because of COVID-19, the only summer blockbuster, was released this past weekend, directed by celebrated auteur Gina Prince-Bythewood. Jay, what was your, yes. what did you think? If I know you, like comic books and like action yes. films and stuff. So this is.
If you would have told me that the woman who created and directed Love and Basketball,
right.
the first movie where I ever saw Wait, a sex what? Scene. Yeah, so yes. the, she's the director of Love and Basketball. And Akilah and the Bee.
Beyond the Lights.
Wait. Beyond the Lights, too. So yeah. she. I think that was one of the first sex scenes I saw mm-hmm. in the movie theater with my mom. And I was like, are they going to do it in front of my mama? I was like, Sanaa Lathan,
incredibly
do this
sensual
in front
movie.
Of my mama? It Maxwell, the whole, mm-hmm. the, in, oh. This Woman's Worth. If you would have told me she was going to direct a superhero movie, I would have been like, how? What? Really? It's a beautiful, but also brutal movie. I started it, mm-hmm. and I'm not done with it. But I, mm-hmm. and there are parts of it that aren't spoilers. It's about this group of people that have superhuman regeneration. They have basically almost immortality. They can heal from anything. So we need a blood transfusion from them right now for this country. That's a COVID. That's a COVID joke, not a STD joke. Even though, you know, do what you got to do. Charlize Theron is like the leader. She's Andy of the group. And she, first of all, the cut is so severe and so oh, yes. militant. The yes. look that she gives
she's
off.
Got the eye she's on a, flux cut.
Yeah, she's a statuesque yes. woman. Imagine like a 5'10 South African woman with that haircut just busting shit, fucking shit up. Cause that's what this movie is. At one point, like you think they're done and they're not, and that's kind of like the premise of having regenerative powers. Like, I love characters like Wolverine. I love books like X-Force, which is about like a Wetworks division sort of like this, but this is so much grittier. And I'll tell you guys also, there is a queer love story too. That's all okay, I'm gonna say. But it's amazing. It's good. It's very good.
That is the best part to me. It is so satisfying to see gay men fight crime and kiss. I mean, that to me yes. is like all you gotta sell for me to go and watch it. And yeah. they get a line, they get like kidnapped, these two gay guys who are like a part of this group in it. And the one of the guys
Patrick,
is like,
if you spoil it, you can't, I mean, like,
can I do the yeah. line?
You can do the line. Okay, you can do okay. it. You can do that.
I'm just gonna say the line that he goes, what is he, your boyfriend? And he goes, he's not my boyfriend. He's all and he's more. Excuse me. I mean, I was just sobbing. It is so sweet and tender for an action film. I mean, imagine.
That yeah. is really sweet. As someone who is completely unlovable, I can't imagine it, honestly. I will let you guys know, I had no interest in watching this shit before. Period. I saw the pictures of Charlize with the little axe. I thought that was cute. But you just said Love and Basketball.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
Next up, Harper's Bazaar released a letter this past week signed by 153 public figures that condemn the rise of cancel culture and suggest that canceling leads to the lack of open discussions and inhibiting free thought. Patrick, babe, what do you think?
I think this really, like, irked me. I don't know if anyone else was, like, annoyed by this, but I do think that there is a lot of throwing the cancel culture terminology around lately, and I feel like it's a little misrepresenting. It's like cancel culture implies something's unjust to me, which what's mostly happening is like people in positions of power are being held accountable for their actions and words. And I don't necessarily, I think connotating that with saying it's cancel culture, whatever, is so like just absolutely ridiculous. And like only people who have that privilege and entitlement could even justify calling it that is kind of my take.
I think it's intellectually dishonest. In fact, it's yeah. like it's borderline brainwave lazy, because you go, oh, cancel culture is gonna affect me, and you go, no, you still are important enough that people are asking you about it, number one, so right. you clearly still have a platform. Number two, usually, like Patrick said, people are scared of consequences and people are hesitant to apologize. There are usually three steps. You get big enough that people look at old shit they say, oh, this is some terrible old shit. Do you want to apologize for this old shit? And you have the choice to either go, no, I stand by that old shit. Or you can say, oh, I've grown. I'm so sorry. I apologize. I will not only work to be better, but I will put some of my money, effort, and time, and maybe even opportunity and spaces towards this group that I offended, and I will try to better myself and learn more. But what happens is a lot of people go, oh, no, no, I stand by what I said. And I'm like, get ready, pimp, because you did.
We have social media now, girl. I mean, honestly, people got away with this for so long because the people couldn't actually, like, give their opinions in a free setting.
That's me as a comedian. Like, if someone was like, oh, that joke was fucked up, the first thing I'm going to be like, oh, was it intentionally fucked up? Was the context very clear? Is there any way I could make it more palatable? Also, like, know your audience. Know the space that you're performing in. This always kind of really irks me because whenever some comedians were like middle-aged straight white guys like, cancel culture has ruined my career, I'm like, oh, you just want to be able to say faggot. I see what you're saying. I'm picking up what you're putting down, and it's a pile of sticks, faggot. Like, it's stupid.
You just wanted to say faggot, I think.
That part!
Yeah.
No,
with the actual definition!
The part that irks me is this whole thing is, like, it's signed by all of these, like, not law, but university professors from Yale and Princeton, right, and all these people. And it also isn't really saying anything. Like, it's not this, like, really well-thought-out op-ed about, like, what we can do to improve the situation and whatever. It's just, like, a bunch of people kind of being like, we hate this, and we're smart, so here's our little declaration of independence from Twitter. Like, I don't know what the point of this is. What I will say is, I think that we need to hold people accountable, and we also need to teach people, like, we need to identify problems, provide solutions, and then monitor whether or not those people are improving. Because what I see so often is that a lot of the people who are in power that get canceled never really get canceled. That's the thing.
That part!
They're, you know, you're rich enough, you're famous enough, whatever. You're never really canceled.
The J.K. Rowling isn't facing consequences right now. She's a billionaire. She's not canceled.
Neither is Jeffree Star.
No. And they're tweeting from the bank.
And sometimes it creates even more fans that go, I don't even normally like your stuff.
Yes,
but if people are saying that you are wrong, I'm going to rally behind you.
Yes.
Until it happened with like so many, like, I don't know, like conservative grifters, if you will, where they're like, oh, they want to silence me. And then they have like a meet and greet and people are like, yeah, so what do you have to say? And they're like, just buy my book. That's it. I don't really care about y'all either.
The moral panic is these people want to dish it out, but then they can't take it. And it's like, opinions, like any good chaotic verse, go both ways. And you're entitled to yours, and the world is entitled to theirs. And for you to make a victim of yourself because we respond to your opinion, girl, go sit down somewhere.
You guys, though, something crazy just happened. I am reading the next topic, and it says that RuPaul and Michelle Visage have disappeared.
Now what? What could that mean,
okay,
Jay?
This was like an Amber Alert that I just got on my phone. I'm going to read it, what it says. It says that RuPaul and Michelle Visage have disappeared from social media, and their Twitter accounts and their Instagram accounts have been fully wiped and scrubbed.
Listen,
I don't want to make anyone nervous, but Monique, what's going on?
Where's your mother, Monique?
At first I thought she was like deleting her social media because she didn't want to get canceled. And then Michelle deleted hers, and I was like, well, I don't know. Because Michelle had like rumored that she wanted to come out with her own show where it was like open to trans women and trans people and drag, da 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 da. And so I don't know if like RuPaul chopped her up and maybe he's trying to hide the body. Because, you know, she's trying to come on her turn. But I don't know. It's really kind of gaggy because Drag Race is, like, kind of non-existent in the sense of COVID. And, you know what I mean? Right. So, like, what is she going to do? I don't know. Someone said that, you know, because she didn't respond and all, this is what someone said. This is not my quote. this is what someone said. I'm saying this quote because what I want after to happen, happen.
Okay, so everyone listening, Monique Hart did not say this.
I did not. Someone said, not me. Not me. I think it might be a little YouTuber who follows drag queens. That's all I'm going to say. And he said that she might not be coming back next season, so that position might be open. And I'm just saying that if the position is open, since she is missing, you know.
Well, I think we've got a strong contender here.
I mean, well, Monique,
do you think you might want to host?
I definitely. You want me to put on my little glasses and say, what is it? Hello, hello, hello?
Parker, whatever suit. What's Parker Klein? Whatever.
No, listen, Monique actually should have got paid more because you and Monet hosted y'all seasons anyway. So. Yeah.
Oh. Dang, dang.
That part.
No lies spotted. No lies spotted. Okay, well, that was Hot Tops this week. Wow.
Those were damn near Dom Tops.
All right, you guys, we are going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Alaska Thunderfuck.
Who's that?
Hi.
We are so excited and blessed to have my good sis, good Judy, drag legend, all-star winner, podcaster, singer, songstress, and actress. Hi, Alaska. Welcome to the review.
Oh, my gosh. Hi. It's so good to see you. You look amazing.
Thank you, beautiful.
Miss Alaska, the eyebrows are full. The beard is in.
Oh, I know. That's, you know, girl, not doing drag. That's what you get.
Also, so happy you got the tank top memo. No one else?
Girl, this is my uniform. Like, I always wear a black tank top. It's just what I live in.
You look very comfortable. You've got your podcast set up.
Yeah, totally. This clear tape we've used to ramshackly repair this device.
Speaking of podcasts, Race Chaser is literally the definitive queer podcast, and you've now won 2 Queerties, right, for best podcast?
Yes.
How many? Yeah. So now you're branching out with your own podcast channel, Mom. Can you tell us a little bit about what prompted Mom and the type of content that we're going to see produced on Mom?
Well, we had a really good time doing Race Chaser, and it sort of started as like just like a hobby, because we were like, we're watching Drag Race anyway, so, and we talk about it constantly, so why don't we just like do it? And so we started, and then it kind of expanded, and we did like there's the show about Drag Race, which is on Wednesdays, and then there's Hot Goss, which is like the ancillary show on Fridays, where we talk about like the world, what's going on in the world. And then like, I don't know, I mean, it just keeps like, it kept growing, and we were like, well, why don't we bring in like some of our sisters? And I mean, Drag Race keeps expanding. There's like 37 iterations of Drag Race going on at once. So now on the Moguls of Media network, we've invited Manila Luzon and Latrice Royale to do a podcast called The Chop, where they talk about Canada's Drag Race.
How are you liking Canada's Drag Race?
I love it, and it's so crazy because you see so differently like what drag culture is like in different regions. Like, yeah. UK was really yeah. It was, everyone was
interesting.
Really super, right. Everyone was really funny though.
Yeah.
And then you see like Thailand, and like the queens just go like, they go in 1,000%.
The looks are insane in Thailand.
Ridiculous.
Yes. Lighting themselves on fire.
Yeah.
Alaska, I have a question for
y'all.
First of all, I just want to say, like, you have shifted like drag culture in the sense of like language and the way that we speak, just like high and just dragging everything out and just making it, it's just, You're so plus, girl, legendary. Here we go, right? Now, obviously, we're living in these crazy times. It's very, very insane. What would you say to listeners who want to support drag queens, drag performers, other gig performers, you know, people who are doing the gigs in the circles? Like, what would you tell them in different ways to support? And then as well, how are you evolving during all of this time where, like, you know, we thought we would be back in a bar in 6 weeks, girl, I'll be back at the gig. And we are like, how many months then, girl? Like, when was the last time you were in? When was the last time you had to talk? You know what I mean? Like, we're crazy, crazy. That's the tea. Like,
had
I mean,
to or chose to?
Right.
Oh, like, just walk around the house for free? Yeah.
Yeah, like, what, you got to practice.
Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Glass of wine. Grey's Anatomy.
Right, yeah.
Just to feel someone back there.
Oh my goodness. Just sitting on it. I mean, to answer your question though, if you're looking for ways to like support drag artists, there are, you don't have to look very far. There are always opportunities. I mean, queens are very active. Like, as soon as all this started to happen, it was really impressive how fast, like, drag performers were instantly like, okay, well, I had a gig tonight, but I can't do it in real life, so we're doing it on Instagram, and here we go. And so it was really, like, inspiring to see, like, how drag queens are just like we're so able to like adapt and and like survive anything.
Yeah.
So like you can easily support drag queens. They will not be shy about telling you where their fucking Venmo is. They will be happy to let you know. It's probably in the Instagram description box. And it's the same thing with like important causes. Like these are things that it's really important to keep the money moving in these directions, even though like it seems like the economy has stopped. It's like we are our own economy, so we
very true.
We can keep
very very true.
All right, it's time for Grindr Hotline. Our lovely listeners have left us questions about sex and dating over voicemail. We, along with Alaska, will play the voicemail live and offer you advice. I cannot promise it will be good advice, but we will definitely say something. Because if you see something, say something. If you have sex or dating questions, our number is 424-235-4430. Leave us a voicemail this week, and next Thursday we will answer your questions. Okay, we'll play the first voicemail.
Hi, guys. I love the first episode. My name's Abraham. I live in Florida right now. So currently I'm not really dating anybody right now, but I have a kink that I really like that it's kind of hard to like put on somebody the first time you talk to them or hook up with them or whatever. And my kink is I really, really like when they choke me. Oh God, I don't know what it is about it, but it gets me going, starts the boat. So the question then is like, how do I, if I'm in a situation with somebody that I like am hooking up with for the first time, like get them to like kind of go there? Because when it's happened for me before, it's been like when I'm like, I've been dating a guy for a while and like, and I'm kind of trying to make it a regular part of my sexual encounters. So just some insight on how you would approach that. Thanks.
Wow. Abraham, that's a great question, I think. Speaking from experience, I like choking as well. And I think, I mean, Florida, just tell them. I mean, I don't think you have to wait that long. And I think just kind of be upfront with that. I don't think it's that as weird as it sounds.
You think?
It seemed pretty common to me. Am I
wrong? With the lead
here?
Up, I was expecting like gerbils in the ass.
I know. That's
something.
What I thought it was going to get really weird. I thought it was going to get weird. Choking to me is very like tame. I don't know.
Yeah. I would say, as someone who slightly likes it, I'm not looking into the camera. No. Here you go. You grab their hand and then you put their hand on your neck where, you know, you can still, and then, you know, they might, if they're not into it, they might be a little freaked out. Also, if they're too into it, they might try to, look, bitch, I want to breathe. I got things to do. I got to call my mama. Okay. Right. So you squeeze their hand to like a level of tightness. And then you say right there, keep it up. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I listen, as a black man, the criminal justice system has been choking me since 1619. So I'm all for people being very verbal and being very open with their kinks. Abraham, that's a biblical name. Tell the truth and just do what you got to do. Do what you got to do, Abraham. But stay safe in Florida. Hold on. That's,
have your life
we need
alert.
We need to address this. You can't get choked by nobody new in Florida.
That part.
Unless they have gloves on. And that's another kink. So just,
and a face mask.
Yeah, and a face mask. So just, I mean, stay. I think the Florida will fuck you up more than the choking right now. So be safe.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, we've got one more, Will. So let's get the other one.
Hey there. I'm just curious, how can I tell guys on Grindr that I don't want to be their friend? I'm only interested in dating or hooking up. It's just that I feel very fulfilled in my friendship and am looking for a very particular kind of friend, because I feel like I have enough friends. So would love more musicians in my life to play music with, but other than that, hard to find musicians on Grindr, or anywhere. But other than that, I don't know how to say this without being rude, without sounding rude.
Can I go first?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Grindr is a hookup app if you are using specifically Grindr. Just let these hoes know what you want, sis. Just be like, right. Look, I don't need no friends. I got enough. You're here to lay it down. You know what I mean? Either put the banana pepper or the little peach emoji and say, let's get it in. No friends. Drop that pipe, door open, face down, booty out. You know what you want, girl? Let them know. It's 2020, girl. You are free.
The words of our Lord. Okay, like, as the most famous person here, Alaska, there probably are elements of this you have to experience. Like, have you ever been like, no, this, you know what this was? Or, like, were people like, I want to talk about this. She's like, no, this was a hookup. I'm enjoying this. And then you're going to leave.
Well, like Monique said, it's best to be direct, especially if you are using like a dating app. So like you can do it without being rude. There's a way of like saying that in your profile. I'm looking for dating and I'm looking for hooking up, not looking for friends right now, you know, and you can be direct without being like rude. Like, I have enough fucking friends. Don't fucking talk to me. You don't have to do all that, but just be clear. Like, these are my boundaries. This is what I'm using this technology for. Let's respect each other. In that.
Okay. So let's go to our queer legacy question. These are questions that every group of queer people have fought about over the years.
Oh,
what's
my goodness.
The greatest Oscar speech? Who's the best Spice Girl? What is the proper way to douche? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
good question.
We're going to battle it out amongst ourselves, and then we want to hear from our listeners. Add us at Grindr and use the hashtag Queer Legacy and give us your answer, and we'll read them at the top of the show next week. Okay. The Queer Legacy question this week is, what is the best Mariah Carey single?
I'm going to start
because
I have something incredibly moving, poignant.
Oh, my God.
And I want to say captivating to say about
truly.
This. I think the best Mariah Carey single is Honey from Butterfly.
Oh.
Butterfly does not get enough credit because... Butterfly doesn't get enough credit because it was kind of, it's like right after Mariah was like curly Mariah. This is like our introduction
This
is our introduction to very, very sexy R&B, can also do a remix Mariah. And Honey is the best pop song that's just a thinly veiled metaphor for cum. So it's the best one. It's the best one. It's just, it's an entire song about semen.
We need a Honey Mariah Carey and a Honey Robin redux. Like, oh, that is something I'm ready for.
Gay people would either explode or implode. We'd either blow up or get sucked into our own buttholes if that played.
Yes.
Okay, I think mine... I love honey, but...
Say semen. But say what you mean.
I love semen. But I'm going to take it back to emotions, because...
Okay, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what I was going to say.
I love... this whistle tone, she like just came out the gate and she's like, you know, to everyone.
How was that?
Will, fix that in post. Oh, I heard it.
That was good.
It's like she's in the room.
Yeah, I know.
Being filmed from one side.
No, but she, it's like honestly one of the best singles. No one can do that range. She was at the top of her vocal game at that point. Yes. And when you go through, you know, I've gone through the YouTube rabbit hole of Mariah Live, and you see her going and performing that live. It's unreal. I mean, the four octaves, there's like nothing like it, really, to me. Vocal mastery and a great song. She writes all of her songs. That one is extremely well written. Talking about emotions, talking about people who feel feelings, you know, I think we all can relate to that.
I agree with you, Patrick.
People who need people are the luckiest people in the world.
It's the wrong diva, but okay. It's
Chester, what do you think?
Oh, well, I am a purist, and I was going to say emotions, but other than that, my 3 a.m. drunk karaoke song is Hero every time.
Oh, because it's about sandwiches and you're hungry.
Yeah, exactly. It's Subway.
This is hard.
I know, it is hard. It's either that
or... This is hard, bitch. I'm going back through Mariah with the bitch.
She is. Okay, but also, When You Believe with Whitney Houston.
Girl. Oh my God! Yes.
The Prince of Egypt soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm about to be Christian for the rest of this podcast. It's gonna stop afterwards, but because of that song.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite Sandra Bullock vehicles, The Prince of Egypt.
Oh my God! Why did DreamWorks make Moses so fucking hot? That's don't do that to me.
I know they did us dirty on that.
Girl with that nose.
No, it was.
You knew it. Ooh, girl, that nose.
I don't know if we get to say that nose about the most famous Jewish person ever. Second famous.
Girl, like I said, that nose.
Alaska, are you going to go with emotions as well?
Well, that was my initial yes, because like you said, I mean, it's an incredible song. It really showcases her special gifts as a singer, and she could back them up. Like, you watch the live performances, and she really, really crushes that song. Also, though, I mean, we have to say it's the elephant in the room. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Is one of the biggest songs of all time. And it's so... Everyone is trying to imitate that. Every Christmas, you have five different major artists putting out an album trying to capture that magic in a bottle that is that song. And you it can't be done.
No. Patrick, I take back that you were right and Alaska's right. So... You were wrong. Alaska's right. That she makes.
Jane, we'll talk about this later.
She becomes a millionaire like every. Well, yeah, like she gets a couple $1 million every November.
Didn't it
just
go to number one last year? Like it was. Yes. Like, it hit number one finally for the first time last year, which is unprecedented. It came out in the 90s.
Yeah. Never. Yeah.
Could you
never
okay? Could you imagine being Jesus and being like, "This bitch done made my birthday." Her day. And I said this bitch because Jesus is a queer black man, so he would say it that way.
Well, naturally. Jesus, do you think he prefers that over Selena Gomez? Tell him it's my birthday.
If Jesus met Selena Gomez, he'd be like, trapdoor.
Monique, what do you think? Now I know you're going through the I know you're going through the archives, girl.
Is bitch. It get the fuck out?
Okay. So my Mariah song, like, I'm so torn because I have three that I'm looking at right now, like, used to take me in.
What are they?
Okay, so it was from 1997, bitch, My All.
My All. Oh, my goodness.
Which was there. Oh, my God.
We love that one.
We love.
Okay, that
the black and white video of yes, my all was so sexual. Oh, my God.
So okay, that one. Whenever you call, oh my tears right now. I wrote that. I stole her lyrics and wrote it to somebody and put it in their office because I was trying to get them. I was trying to get a girlfriend at that point. I surely
was. Okay. A locker love.
That was it was junior high, girl. It was junior high. Okay, whatever the last song is on from the movie Glitter that she sung after he died.
Oh my God.
You're with me to the. That one, girl. That one. And last one. Mine Again from The Emancipation of Nene, bitch. Track number 4.
Patrick, yeah, I feel like this could have been like a 3-part because we have. We have like 4 eras that we have to address.
We should have done like the 90s, Christmas album, 2000s, and then 2010s. Yeah. It's too tough.
Emancipation of Mimi, that was her being a phoenix rising from the ashes.
Literally, none of us disagreed. We're all like, oh yeah, that's great. Oh, right. That's amazing.
Wait a second. Is Mariah Carey the Democratic nominee? Did she just get all the delegates?
We got behind her. Well, my thing, I will say this about Mariah. The only thing that I will say is I've never seen Glitter. And I know that's like a big thing, but I've never watched
it. Cancel the call.
No, you have. Hey, Patrick, I got some good news for you. You got time now.
Any time from 6 to whatever, I can watch it.
You
sure
watch the old
iTunes.
Fucking Guard instead of Glitter.
Shame!
Whoa.
Put some respect on the old Guard, okay?
Yeah, you better
put some respect on Glitter. Justice for Glitter. Wow. Yeah, exactly.
First of all, wait a minute. One more song.
I knew I could start
movie.
A disagreement with that.
Loverboy?
What? No. From the movie. It was the song after her mom burned the house down and they're taking her away in the car.
I don't know.
It was that little transitional song. Don't worry, bitch. When you watch the movie, you will know what I'm talking about, Shady Queen.
Well, this was a great queer legacy question. Everyone, please send your thoughts to us on social media. This has been so much fun. Thank you for joining us, Alaska. You're our first guest, so it's very special to have you here. We are thrilled. You were a wonderful guest, and we love you. And can't wait to go to the drive-in and see your ass.
Yeah. I'll see you there. I'll see you through the glass.
See us through the glass.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you all. This was so fun.
This has been so much fun, but it's time to go now. Thank you, Alaska, for coming. You're our first guest. It was amazing. Thanks for tuning into The Rear View, everyone. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Do us a favor and leave a nice review for all of the work we do. Bye, y'all.
Forever Dog.
The Rear View has been a joint production between Forever Dog and Grindr. Thank you, Alaska Thunderfuck, for being this week's guest. Hosted by Patrick Rogers, Monique Hart, Chester Lockhart, and Jay Jordan. Music by Gabe Lopez. Engineered and edited by Will Pitts. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Anna Rubinova, Patrick Rogers, Evan Sterrett, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.